God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Greetings, citizens of Earth. The dog poet is in the saucer pod hovering above Libya tonight. Libya is the present country hosting dreadful irony on a rotating trade, with all the other countries being terrorized by a particular crime syndicate in the Middle East. Libya is playing host for $50,200 a day mercenaries from Zimbabwe and other places. Too bad they weren't hookers. Something tells me it would be more effective. I don't know if the story is true. It's being reported at websites and news gathering sites and all over the internet. And Gaddafi's son goes to Israel to visit prior too, so. And of course, such hired mercenaries are in every country in Africa, maybe just as not as many, and many more in some cases. And people are writing me to say there's no proof to the list of hundreds of sources on the search engines, which is usually all the proof I need. Last week, the tsunami was hitting Japan at this time. Is it moving across the water to California now? All kinds of predictions are out there. I hope they're wrong, but the things that are happening cannot stop happening until awakening occurs, and awakening is moving like a slug going uphill in January. The press and power of the prevaricating media is intense. At the same time, the power providing awakening is also in control of the power bringing awakening. So, what I mean to say is the power providing awakening is also in control of the power that is keeping awakening from happening. What have I just done? What did I say? Time to ponder the nature of life itself. One thing I wish to impress upon the listener, which I would wish to impress upon the reader, if it were worth the blogs, but I'm not at the blogs, so. The one thing I consider of singular importance and to which I want to, direct your attention is the fact that we're in a Kali Yuga. Now, I don't think John listens to this show, so I'll take a chance. No one knows who John is anyway. Boy, am I in a strange mood this evening. John says, according to Sri Yukteswar, Paramahansa Yogananda's teacher, that we're at the end of the Kali Yuga. Now, John doesn't like me very much, although he maintains a veneer of politesse. It goes back decades and doesn't really have a cause. I think it has something to do with relative placement in the scheme of things, because I can't come up with anything else no matter how I try. I inject this in the hope that it tells the listener that, well, we often have no control over how people feel about us or anything else because the times in which we live, they distort the perception of everything due to the impressive heavy illusion force due to the Kali Yuga. I've got four birth brothers and a sister, and I've seen them a total of about 2 weeks collectively in 4 decades. They stay in touch with each other, but none of them stay in touch with me. They're all centered around concern for my mother, who's in her 90s now, and have lots of, various visits each year and all the things that come from a family circle. Now, when I had my Kundalini experience, all sense of having had a mother or father or personal family or siblings beside the entire world of brothers and sisters was washed out of me in an instant and never came back. I'm very friendly with my brothers, and them with me when we speak on the phone, meaning when I call them. Sometimes there are moments of agitation because a couple of my brothers are a little strange, and I don't quite get a read on why or what. But mostly we joke, and they share my view on the world 100%. A few weeks ago, I called to the central home where the mother and one brother lives, and one of the brothers answered. I said I would call because everyone was around, and I thought they all enjoyed talking to me. The previous time, I had spoken to all of them and mentioned some of the good things that were happening to me, with some number of my books being published, if that is a good thing, and other things I won't go into. I noticed that agitation again, as if good things happening to me were unjustified unless they happened to the rest of them. I could feel it. So this time when I called back and got the one brother, he was as borderline rude as he could be without coming right out and being directly rude. And there was no provocation whatsoever. I'd never seen him like that before, and the only thing different was the degree of success I've been having in my efforts. The result of years of work with no light in sight. I made an excuse and hung up. There was no reason to go on with the conversation. I got the same thing from John. And all these situations come about because our perceptions are skewered by the Kali Yuga, and we are in needless competition with each other when the real point is for us to find our purpose, because everyone is destined for success if they follow their dharma and practice self-inquiry. It's a given. Laziness will defeat this, and sensation immersion will defeat it, as will other enemies of realized destiny. We don't realize that success in the outer world is guaranteed by success in the inner world. Some of us are born with specific, you know, unstoppable opportunity, like Bruce Springsteen, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, and a variety of writers, politicians, and you know, what have you. For the rest of us, it's all about the work that needs to be done on ourselves. This is not to say the names mentioned didn't require work, don't require work. Bruce lives in Beverly Hills. That surprised me when I heard it. Anyway, digressing. So John says, according to the very truthful and bona fide master, Sri Yukteswar, that we are at the end of the Kali Yuga. Now, just about everyone else says that we're going to go through a mini golden age and then tens of thousands of years of following darkness. What do I think? Ta-da, 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 done! The envelope, please. And the viz's real take on the cosmic clock data for the Kali Yuga is, drumroll, please. I haven't got the slightest idea. I haven't got a clue, and I don't know, and you can quote me on that. I wish more people would quote me on that, speaking in the first person, though. Geez, I hope I got that tense right, but you know what I mean. I hope John's right. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would mean Sattva Yuga is coming in millions of years, I think, possibly of wonderful times on Earth. Not that I want to come back here. I believe Sattva Yuga is the longest age and Kali Yuga is the shortest, which makes sense from the perspective of God being fair and kind. John is remarkably well informed about a lot of things, but he did a funny thing about all of this. He's noted for those. He quoted Sri Yukteswar, an impeccable source, which he most certainly is, coming out of the lineage of Lahiri Mahasaya, and before that the illustrious Babaji, the real Babaji. There's lots of people using that name, so... But then he pointed out something negative that someone said about Yogananda. I have no idea why. It was just something someone else said. You know, hearsay. And someone got after him about that at the blogs, as I remember. And I must say, we're a pretty civil lot at the blogs, but we say some strange things sometimes. I'm no exception. Look at the way I'm talking tonight. I was in the supermarket yesterday, and something happened that caused me a degree of stress, and I could not believe it was happening. I went out of my car and got very upset with the divine. 20 minutes later, I'm apologizing profusely, and the divine steps in and says, "Don't worry about it. You're forgiven. I set that up to distract you so that I could do something for you, something wonderful." But you had to be in a certain mood for it to happen. It's things like this that remind us that the divine is incomprehensible, and that's a good place to start and a good place to stay. Make it visceral. We've got so many things going on intellectual, you know, intellectually, but it's the visceral where it counts. It's the difference between getting an idea of, say, like what swimming is like by watching and having the direct experience of diving in. That's what you have to do with God. Dive in. Diving in is a commitment. Make God the centerpiece of your life or don't bother. God's not impressed with anything else, and he'll throw all kinds of things at you to test your sincerity. Stick with it. It should be proof that you've got his attention. Okay? That's a strange way to get the evidence. But if you pay attention, you will see. We lack commitment. This is our major problem. And there are always reasons not to pray, not to meditate, not to talk directly to God. You find that out the moment you try to begin. What you also find out is that if you stick with it, you can't stop doing it because the discipline works in a similar fashion to the distractions. In any case, it's the distractions you have to overcome anyway in order to meditate or pray or talk to God. Doesn't that make sense? Lots of things make sense if you pay attention. You can't do this unless you've made the commitment and made God the centerpiece of your life. So I was talking about the most important thing to be aware of in the Kali Yuga. The force of darkness in this yuga is greater than what can be overcome by personal effort. In another yuga, you've got a better chance, not in this one. In this one, devotion is key, and bhakti yoga is the only sure path to success. Unless you have a realized master in one of the traditions, that's it. Of course, everyone has a master who's a conduit for the single master of all, which is the one reason that wise people recognize each other whenever they meet and why they're uniformly humble. Prabhupada of the Hare Krishna movement was spot on about a lot of things. Chant Hare Krishna, reach God, travel to other planets. It's all dependent on the degree of intensity of practice, and it doesn't have to be Hare Krishna. There are various effective chants. There's sincere prayer, which works like it. Oh, I'll get out. There's the practice of the presence. There's also the selfless immersion in karma yoga while practicing any of these things. The only thing that counts with God is that you love him. He doesn't really care about anything else. Definitely not impressed with any of our accomplishments. Speaking of accomplishments. Take the direct path of love. As I said, I probably seem a little strange tonight. I'm having to process the internal changes that have been going on since the event yesterday. Today I went for a walk with the dogs and wound up in a beautiful meadow high on a hill. Suzanne was when walking into town with the dogs, and I was supposed to drive the car back. I stayed in the meadow and had a conversation that was off the charts, but I can't talk about it. Knowing it would piss some people off, would take all the charge out of telling the rest, but if something is true, it's destined to occur anyway, so there's no point in talking about it. Right? That's right. But anyway, I've got to tell you, I am feeling the most unusual sensations. You know, 3.5 years ago, I drove down to Italy with my friend Roy, who's a native of India. Wonderful guy. I love hanging out with him, and I'll see him at the solstice coming up this year. It was a wonderful trip, and we had a good time. But as soon as he left, things went wrong for me and have stayed that way until yesterday. I don't mean good things haven't happened. They have. But there was this heavy air and all the problems that came one after the other, the health concerns that I've never really had before. And just out of the blue and all sorts of this crushing heaviness, you know, and all these uncertainties and, you know, just this pounding pressure, not knowing where it was coming from. And, you know, I just wasn't expecting this. I was expecting everything to lighten up at that point, and everything was going to go really well for me. And then since that time, each time I've gone to Italy, it's been, you know, much more difficult than in the past, considering such circumstances I run into and such. But just my general sense of feeling. In all honesty, sometimes I wish that I'd never been born at all. That's how bad it got on occasion. But I soldiered on. Yesterday, the cloud lifted, and there was no question about it. And a conversation today dispelled all possible doubts. I can say that we are at the genesis of outrageous fortune, good and bad. So don't be surprised at anything. Don't be surprised at anything. But do keep in mind that in this time of Kali Yuga, personal works and such things are an ineffective way to go. All right? Devotion is the key. Pray. Talk to God. You know, if you're talking to God, like I said, and you're not in a conversation with God, you're not trying hard enough. You have to keep at it. You have to keep doing it until it becomes the most natural thing in the world. And God has different ways of talking to us too, okay? He doesn't just come out and say, hey, Bob, how you doing? You know, sometimes he talks to us through events. Sometimes he talks to us through manifestations in nature, through experiences that occur in our thoughts. There are a lot of ways for us to be reached by the divine. And as soon as you start talking to the divine hears you. Just because the divine doesn't immediately reply and go, oh, hey, how are you doing? You know, well, that doesn't mean anything. God's listening, knows everything there is to know about you, and is taking you right where you're asking to go, but testing to see the degree of your sincerity concerning it. If he thinks you're insincere, he'll toss you right back out there. He'll throw things in your way, knowing that you won't stick to it anyway, and that'll be the end of it. But let's say you really do want to reach the divine. If you do not give up, if you are consistent in your effort, you will reach the divine, especially in these times, okay? Because portals are opening. So I cannot tell you dramatically enough, I can't tell you emphatically enough, that it's there for you if you want it. To me, it's the most important thing in the world. There's nothing else more important. The entire world all put together and the possibility of eternally experiencing everything that I wanted and never having any bad karma about it and never really having to pay for anything or anything and on and on and on and on and on. You can have it all. I'll take the divine. Okay? Without any promise of anything, really. And, well, we've come to the end of another transmission. And I'll see you next week if there is one. A saying that has a more unsettling vibe than it used to. But I suspect I'll be back. In the meantime, got to remember that devotion is the key. And if you're not having a conversation with the divine, you're not trying hard enough. I think you can take a little something from some of the background I gave you tonight, my own life and the lives of many people who've just not given up and kept on coming at it until they broke through. It's God doing the work anyway. It really is. Some of you might find it isn't going to take as much as you think. You don't know how close you might be. Now that said, aloha and aru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is...
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works. On the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.